This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, all over the fruited plain, it's America's family hour of worship. Gather around all 50 states. Please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to John chapter 12, verse 25, where we left off last time. John chapter 12, verse 25. Now, in John 12, God's clock is ticking, and it is a type of God's clock ticking now toward these end times. We're going to learn a lot about where we are in God's appointment book tonight, today. So his clock is ticking. It began with 6 days before Passover, and so we studied that. And Passover is when the lamb was killed and the blood was shed for the remission of sins. There's just something different here, though, in John 12. This time, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shed his blood for the remission of sins. Remember John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Paul says Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So we have the countdown. We have 6 days before Passover. Then we have 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's about 1 day before this. Now, last time, Jesus explained to his disciples why it was necessary that he should die. Remember, he came to die for our sins, to pay the sin debt, to defeat death, whose name is the devil. And he said in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So God had one begotten son, and he sent him to till the soil, Genesis 2, through that pedigree. And Jesus came and tilled the soil on this planet Earth. And he died, and he shed his blood, and he arose. And now many sons can come to God. That's you. Hallelujah. Amen.
25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life.
Now, some of you are saying, well, I hate my life. And others say, no, I love my life. I don't want to hate my life. The word hate, of course, in the Greek means to love less. But he's not talking about this planet world. The world has the same Greek meaning, age, aeon Greek age, as 2 Peter 3:6, which tells us there was an age before this one, the first earth age. We're now in the second earth age, and there's the third one to come, which will be heaven on earth. In other words, it's different dispensations of time. So why is God telling us to hate this? Because, as the old gospel psalm says, this world is not your home. You're just a passing through. If heaven's not your home, then Lord, what will you do? And Jesus says they're in the world, but not of the world. Well, wait just a minute. Well, what do you mean that I'm supposed to hate this world? You are on a journey. Have you noticed how many scriptures always talking about walking in the path and walking in the light and lead me by the path, and we're always moving, 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 everything. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
You're on a journey. Now, when Satan rebelled in the world that then was, almost all of God's children, we were in a spirit body, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, for those of you new, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Almost all of God's children betrayed God. One third, Revelation 12, followed him immediately. He was called the dragon Lucifer there instead of God. And the other third was the worst of all, the lukewarm, because see, the reason that aggravates the Lord is he's a tree of life, and there's something sick about a piece of dead wood in his tree. He can't take that. Now, there was a little group, as you know, a remnant, Romans 8:28, who did not betray God. But God said to everybody, all right, let us make man in our image. I'm going to make you a flesh body and send you into the second earth age. So everybody was banned from heaven. He sent us out one at a time. Even the group that did not betray him, he sent in every generation to bring the mystery of God, to bring the oracles of light. It was like we volunteered and were appointed. But everybody else was kicked out of heaven. When you came through your mother's womb, he said, bye, hope you choose Jesus, okay? You came, you had that chance there, and hope you choose Jesus. And those of us who did not betray him are here to teach. So when he kicked us out of heaven, he said, now you're on a journey. I've got two paths for you. If you get on the right path, you just keep moving. You keep moving in the second earth age, and that path is going to lead you safely back to Father's house. Now, you're going to go through peaks. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to go through ditches. You're going to have to take detours. You're going to have to go on bumpy roads, back roads, and you're going to feel like you're traveling in darkness and you've lost your compass sometimes. But he says, if you'll take that one, it will finally wind you back to Father's house. But he said, there's another road. I'm giving all your choice. Now, the small one, he said, is small and it's narrow. And he said, few there be that find it. But he said, I've got another big one. It's bright and light. Whoa, it's so much fun. And look, everybody's following that one. And that one leads to the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. So now you're on a journey. Everybody, pack your bag like Ezekiel did, and let's carry on in our journey. Do you know I realized in preparing this all my life as a little tiny girl, 5 years old, hiding behind chairs to read my books so my mother wouldn't knock them out of my hand and curse me. I knew that I was moving somewhere back to God. It's just in your DNA to know this.
26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be.
Okay, now we've got a roadmap. That is the Bible. You've got that. But you've got Jesus. Follow Jesus. But who is Jesus? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So the way you stay on the straight and narrow, even though you're going to go in peaks and valleys and dirt roads and detours and, oh boy, the devil's going to try to trip you up on that. If you follow Jesus, who is he? The Word. What does God's Word say? The Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. If you can't see but 1 inch on your nose, you've got that light, like those miners have that lamp there, and you just follow the Word. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the Word. So Jesus says, I'll get you back safely to the house.
And he that serveth me, him will my Father honor.
Now this is talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we get, not only do we get to go back to Father's house, when Jesus comes, it's going to be a wedding. But see, it's reward day. Revelation 20 and 21 says Jesus is bringing rewards with him. You know how, Scott, I bet you go off and you Angela, y'all bring presents back to your children when you go on a trip. My parents did. Daddy bought me a tricycle. I knew he was going to do that. And so Jesus is bringing rewards and he's going to honor us. And he's going to say, oh, well done, my child. You did not get off the beaten path. You stayed on the straight and narrow path. And he honors us. It's going to be an honor banquet. Hallelujah. Don't you like banquets? Don't you like, hey, I'll call you back there. Nobody even knew your name. Come on up. You get a reward.
27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour.
All right. The clock is ticking. And of course, on this road that you and I are traveling, it's getting time for Jesus to be crucified. And he says, I'm troubled not to avoid the pain. I came to die. But to think that the pure Almighty God, who is pure and knows no sin, was about to take on himself. When we do Passover, we teach how each one of these jumped on him. And he's about to take all the sins of the world. This is an intense moment. So on this path you're going there, and it's winding, and it's very narrow, and you're so afraid you're going to fall off in the ditch over here, you have got to go through the crucifixion of Jesus. You have got to go through the cross. Without the death, there would be no life. Now, many people are going to try to avoid that, And we're going to come to a fork in the road in a few minutes, and you'll find out. The death of Jesus is one of those bumps you have to get into on that winding road to get back home to God.
28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, and the voice from heaven saith, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.
Now, the first time it was glorified, when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit lighted on Jesus' head like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The next time it will be glorified will be at the seventh trump, when the Lord Jesus comes, and every eye shall see him, and all nations of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And then the third time it's going to be revealed is at the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment.
29, the people therefore that stood by heard, and they said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him.
All right. In the book of Revelation, Jesus gave to John seven vials, seven seals, and seven trumps, signs and so forth that would herald the end of this age. We're actually in the fifth trump now. And then he gave John, the book of Revelation, I recently taught it, he also gave him seven thunders. Now the psalmist said, we studied this not too long ago on Wednesday night, God's voice is the thunder. And John was about to write down the seven thunders in the book of Revelation. Jesus said, no, seal that up. Don't put that in the book of Revelation. Why is that? When you've heard the thunder, the lightning has already struck. When we finish the seventh seal, the seventh trump, the seventh vial, Antichrist will have come, Jesus will come, and that's it. So, now, I want you to know something. Elijah the prophet wanted to hear God's voice. There was a lot of noise, thunder, cell phones ringing, radios blaring, TVs blaring, beep bop, texting, hey, there, music, all kind of stuff. And Elijah had to go in the cave, and it wasn't in the thunder, and it wasn't in the lightning. It was a still, small voice that heard him speak. You have in you the thunder of God's voice. And on this road that goes this way and that way, you must hear this thunder or you will lose your way. You have in you the human and the thuman, the priestess, which is the Holy Spirit. It will not shout at you, hey, Susie, don't do that. Hey, John, don't do that. It's very gentle. It just moves the barometer to just this. And if you hear it, it is like the thunder of silence. You know it is God. And you turn on a dime on this winding road, up the hill and down the vale and back through this and dark streets and all this way. You have to hear that voice or you're going to get off the pathway. My sheep know my voice, said Jesus.
30, Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out.
Now the prince of this world is the devil. Paul calls him the prince of the air, the prince of the darkness. Now, it was about time for Jesus to be crucified. And Hebrews 2:14 says he came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Now, let's take this a bit here. It's 6 days after Passover. Okay. In the Hebrew calendar, Passover should be every year April 15th. It should never be called Easter. Easter is a word. It comes from Esther, Ishtar, goddess of fertility, bunnies and eggs and junk. Okay? Christians are supposed to celebrate Passover. Jesus died. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. He's the Passover lamb. And if we went by the Hebrew calendar, it would be April 15th every year. Now remember the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, remember, look, I have foretold you all things. And he says he reveals his secrets to the servants of the prophets. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we have a time season. Now, April 15th is Passover. All right. In our story here, it is 5 days after Passover. And it's time for the enemy to be cast out. Even though the devil is on a leash now, he was defeated when Jesus died. It just hasn't been carried out, okay? After this fifth trump, soon and very soon, Revelation 12 says the dragon, Satan, will be cast out of heaven with the fallen angels called the locust army and coming in the clouds calling himself God's Savior. Whoa! Passover, April 15th. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is this 5? Mark 13 said that Antichrist's time has been shortened for 5 months. Revelation 9, the king of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, the destroyer, Apollyon, perdition, and the locust army coming with him, the fallen angels. Now in the natural, the time of the locust is from May to September, 5 months. Passover is April 15th. Okay. The enemy of this world shall be cast out. Is Antichrist coming in the sky at Passover? 5 months, shortened for the elect's sake, time of the locust. Just a little food for thought. Jesus says, I reveal my secrets to the servants, the prophets. So we have just heard a secret. He says, I told you. Were you not listening? Did you listen then?
Verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Jesus tells them then of the type death he's going to die on the cross. And so the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, was lifted up on this cross, God himself, suspended between heaven and earth. Now on this winding road that you are now journeying with me with your bag on your back, we're going, we're moving, we're going up and we're going down and we're hearing the voice of God and we've got to go through that Jesus on the cross. What's there? He's the bridge. In other words, you can't bypass Jesus. You walk on Jesus' back to go back home. What's on his back? Deep ditches, 39 furrows. Ditches, 39 stripes. You know, Christian, you say with his stripes we are healed. And that's so sweet, aren't you holy? Have you ever thought of just what one stripe is? And they put that thing, hey, and drug it and made a ditch in his back. I can tell you, the Lord took me through all 39. There was no hurrying. I was glued to my little pallet. I lay there and I walked with him. Do you understand? If you're going to go on the straight and narrow road, if you're going to get back, you have got to have the fellowship of his suffering. You want the good stuff. Get the new car, get the job, get the raise, get the fun. Oh, the joy of his resurrection. What about the fellowship of his suffering? If you love somebody, you would feel their pain. So on this road, you've got to go through 39 ditches. And that back is bloody. He's the bridge back. And you got to get all bloody. Malachi says he makes up his jewels. And you're going to have your poor little jewel light covered with blood. But God says, just so beautiful. I see you, my child, through rose-colored glasses.
33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. 34, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. Why sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up?
Okay, they had a little bit of the word right. They did know that God's name is Hebrew, Aya Asha Aya, I am that I am. I am the eternal being. They knew that God always has been, he is, and he's always going to be. So they said, well, how in the world are you going to die? I mean, what does that mean? Alexander Pope said, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deeply or not at all of the Pierian springs.
Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.
All right. One of the great things God gave is a road map. He also sends out little road markers. I used to drive all over this country on the interstate, and I did. And I would be always looking, so many miles, exit, oh my God, get out of the right place, you know, because I'm in strange territory. So he sends road markers. You know who they are? God's very elect. And he says, you've got a little light. Now, right now, everybody in the sound of my voice, we got a little light. We're in the fifth trump. You're hearing the truth now. This is a little light. But very soon, you're going to come to a fork in the road. And it's going to look like you can't tell whether to keep on with your little winding road with the blood, the ditches, and all of that, and hearing God's voice, because a great big flashing light is going to be before you. Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. Lucifer's name means the glistening one. And he's going to say, this way, blink, 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 blink. But Jesus says, you've got a little light. Wait just a minute. Trumpet of Truth said that the Antichrist comes first. That's a little light. Now, you're going to remember that, and you're not going to follow that, because the whole world will go that one. They're going to the lake of fire. You're going to keep on the straight and narrow. It's not fun. It's not popular. Nobody's going to say, hey, good job you're doing there. Hard, 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 hard. Hurts, hurts, hurts. There you go. And you have that light. And even though the two witnesses are finally going to be killed, they will arise from the dead with the anointing of Elijah. When they are killed and only stay dead for 3.5 days, all of the light of any of us will be turned off. You cannot hear your little road markers of the truth. But you will still not walk in darkness. Why? Because the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You have the human and the thuman in you, the Holy Spirit in you. And you have the word, and you've heard it here.
Amen. 6. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them.
Other gospels say that's when he arranged the Last Supper.
37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report?
In other words, that's Isaiah 53. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They just did not believe him.
And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? 39. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, verse 40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them.
Now Paul furthers this by saying that here at the end time, God has sent a spirit of slumber over the body of Christ, in part for your own protection. You see, from the first earth age, most everybody was a hothouse lily. Liver lilied, no backbone spine. Boom, got right up, okay? Now, if you know that that's the Antichrist, and you delivered up to him, and, I mean, he'll probably want to give you rewards and things, and if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, that is the unpardonable sin, and an elect can commit that. But many people in the church have no courage. How many people who are real Christians do anything courageous with their lives? They play it safe. How many of you get out of the boat and walk on water and dare to be a Daniel and dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known? How many of you have the backbone and spine to risk failure to get up and do what God tells you to do? Very few. So in a way, innocency is good. So there's a spirit of slumber. Now I want to say this. We're supposed to sow the seeds. We're told in Ecclesiastes, in the morning sow the seeds, sow them at noon, sow them at night. One or the other's going to sow. What I have learned, though, even in church people, that not everybody can get all of it. And I am learning, wait a minute, I'm not throwing that jewel out here. This is going to, they're going to sit and stare at me, look at me, but they're not going to do anything with it. That's a waste. You will learn not to throw your pearls before swine, and it's not always bad people. Sometimes it's church people who are asleep you begin to recognize that. I am learning to recognize this. So what you do with that, you love them, you sow one seed, they don't get it, you find out they're asleep spiritually, go on to the next one.
41, these things saith, when he saw his glory and spake to him.
This would be Isaiah 6. He says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. Excuse me just a moment. The click you heard was technical difficulties. Okay, now what he means here, on this road that we're going, some of you just still gonna try to watch the road markers and see the people walking with you and try to see the cross. No, when you actually get really where you need to be with God, you will be aware of an elevated spiritual existence. It is time now for the sons of God, the children of God, to throw off your veil and see beyond the veil and walk in supernatural. Well, do you know you are immortal now if you're saved? Because your body's not you, okay? And if you don't fall off to Antichrist, you're already immortal. Is that not supernatural?
Right.
Jesus says, I give you power over devils and demons. Is that not supernatural?
Yeah.
And see, on this back road, you're still trying to see. You're trying to see the cross and see the ditches and see the person. And all the while, there's a kingdom. Oh, the kingdom is at hand. We're not talking about thrills, and we're not talking about even demons and angels, which we do see and know are there. We're talking about you're elevated to understand that you were sent out and you're on this road and you're winding around and your whole purpose is to get back to Father's house, and you got a job to do while you're at it, and that is to sow the word and drag as many people with you on the road. Come on here, go with me. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you can just get out of that your purpose is your for, your no more, your job, your car, we do all those things. That's not what you're about. You're on a road back home. There's something for you to be, to live in a supernatural existence.
42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
One of those was Nicodemus, John 3, remember him? And the other was Joseph of Arimathea, who really was Mary's rich uncle. By the way, in Glastonbury, England, there's documentation there that Joseph of Arimathea went to Glastonbury, England, on a ship with a young lad, about 12 or 13 years old, Jesus Yeshua, Messiah, to mine tin and lead and copper. And so that was a Joseph of Arimathea. We're so glad he believed on Jesus. Remember, he was the nearest kinsman redeemer because he could redeem Jesus' body. That was just a little aside there.
42, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. 45, and he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You see me, you've seen the Father.
The Father and I are one. Back in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image, God to the Elohim, the angels to you. Let us make you a flesh body with the same character you had there to come in with that same character to see if you're going to get it right. But he said, I'll do the same thing for myself. I'll make me a body. So you see, Paul says Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Oh, this is important. Abide, Greek word, mone, rest. Now, on this pathway, which is dark, except you have the word, all the world's in darkness. On this back road here, getting back to Father's house, he says, don't rest there. My parents, when they were on South Carolina, I would take my car in Florida and drive to see them. I would drive through the entire state of Georgia. Now, I'd stop there to get a bite to eat if gas up my car. But it never occurred to me to say, I'm just going to stop here and make Georgia my home, okay? So what it means here, yes, you take care of everything, but see, you got these people with you. You're moving back to God. So don't get too comfortable in your little space, your home, your car, your job. This is not it. Please get it. If you ever get it, it'll change your life. Do we enjoy the trip? Sometimes. As Paul, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. But once you get this, you know you've got a deeper purpose. And you take care of those things you have to take. But don't set, the Bible says, don't settle on your knees. You know what that means.
47, and if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him.
Jesus says, by the word you should be condemned. By the word you're justified.
In the last day.
The end, the great white throne judgment.
49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me spoke through me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50, as I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
And so we're on a journey. And what Jesus says, if you will apply all that you have just heard, I have told you all things. If you will do that, though there are detours and there are obstacles and ditches and dark places and tricks along the way, you will get right back to the Father's house, the Father of lights. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy your journey?
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, we'll begin right there next time, but it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Welcome, Scott.
Oh, thank you, Miss Sherry. That was an awesome walk through God's Word. You can feel it. We're just moving right in it, and just awesome.
Yes, we're right in there right now, aren't we?
We are.
Thank you, Scott. That blesses me. Thank you.
Okay, our first question. Obama and John Kerry betrayed Jerusalem recently to the UN. Is this a sign of end time prophecy?
Absolutely. Jerusalem is our barometer for the end. He says, when all nations are gathered around Jerusalem, then the end shall come. And so that's happening right then, the UN, all the nations. You have something to say about
that? Yeah, I mean, we see, I thought it was really interesting how Obama and Kerry and Susan Rice, how they all orchestrated the attack to bring the nations upon Israel.
Yes.
And yet then they abstained from the vote, granting us a stay from God, as it says
so
in Zechariah.
So we wouldn't blame them.
Yeah, as it says in Zechariah 12:9, that the Lord says, I shall destroy all the nations that come upon Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, and although they couldn't help themselves to gather and come upon Israel, the Lord would not let them vote,
to save us, those of us who are the house of Israel in America. Because if Obama and John Kerry themselves had actually voted, although they initiated it, then our nation would be destroyed. He said, all nations that come again shall be destroyed.
And so this new authority and new beginning
President
that we are
Donald
entering
Trump,
into.
President Donald Trump, seed of Abraham, he's going to be for Israel. Yay! Okay, next question.
Our next question, is there any paper proof that God deeded Jerusalem to the seed of Abraham?
Yes, there is. In the book of Jeremiah, great paper proof, the word of God, God told Jeremiah to bury the deed that God's people, that all of us, would inherit Jerusalem. And it is there buried in that land of Judea and Jerusalem in a bottle. And we're going to see that deed.
And these are the deeds of our inheritance.
Of our inheritance
we
is buried.
We are
That's
the
right
tribes of Israel right here. Awesome. Okay, our last question. Why did God direct the minor prophet Hosea to marry a harlot?
Because God wants somebody to feel his pain. It says he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. God was so hurt when the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, committed adultery, went to another god. And then he says the house of Judah, Jeremiah 8, you prayed the harlot also. So what God does, what's going on in the spiritual realm, God outpictures in the natural. So he wanted Hosea, who will share God's heart. He does this with us, Scott.
Yeah.
And he wants us to feel his pain. Because, see, if you are really married to someone, you must feel their pain. And he wanted Jose to understand how he felt when God's children go away from God and commit adultery. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is. And to be a steward. And for him, he wants us to be a steward of his heart.
Of his heart.
Just like your word said tonight, we must partake in his suffering
yes.
as well as in victory.
Nobody wants to hear that. That's
no,
right. But
don't.
The tough ones do.
Yeah.
When the times get tough, the weak ones get going. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff. Tell us your stuff, Scott.
Well, just like your word released tonight, you were talking about the blood. And in this end-time battle, it's all about the blood. The unearthed jewels shall be filled like bowls, covered in Christ's blood, as the corners of the altar. They have been saved for this day as a flock of his people. They shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon this land.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I wish we had time to repeat it, but I see we're learning. That is beautiful, Scott. What a gem that is.
Thank
what
you,
a gem.
Man.
We love those. You need to put all those in a book, an e-book there, and we can hear them all. That would be great, wouldn't it? An e-book. Help us do that. Say we just gave you a job there. Now, all of you who are lost, please pray this with me so we can go around the winding road and back to Father's house again, okay? And I'm one of those little road markers, so follow me, follow Jesus, and we'll get home safely. Follow the yellow brick road, okay? Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your truth. And use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
I love you.
I belong to Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
My announcer will give you my number in a few minutes, so feel free to leave that message on my machine if you prayed that with me. And leave your name clearly, and I will start praying for you every day. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask now, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there are bugs and germs and demonic forces coming upon people, I just say, scatter, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let the Holy Ruach breathe now fresh air, and the lungs be open, and the sinus passages, and the nasal passages in Jesus' name. Let stomachs be settled. Any kind of influenza, you have no place there, you go to the abyss. Let the stomach work in perfect order, the kidneys, and the heart, and the lungs, and the pancreas, pancreatic cancer, you be gone. In the name and the power, the platelets, dear God, leukemia, you have no power there. Let the blood platelets be remolded, everything rejuvenated, restored in Jesus' mighty name. Arise, take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you glory. Now, if you were healed there, please feel free to call and tell me that also. Now, remember that all of this good truth, that you get is not yours to keep. While you're on that road, it would be very selfish of you to just hold it to yourself. You're supposed to pick up travelers on the road and say, hey, let me tell you the truth. And you can stop and take a rest, like I took a rest in Georgia, and take a friend and say, let me win you to Jesus. Let me tell you the truth. And you take that friend on with you. See, it's a sin when you have the truth and you don't share it. To whom much is given, much is required. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcement. Please feel free to call me. I love all of you. Come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Wednesday Warriors, 6:30 p.m. Until next time, I bless you and I love you. And this is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' truth with love.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Standing judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord, give a reason for everything.
Someone who won't let me fall. You are threats and bigger breaks than I'd ever care to confess. Oh, but you're the one who looks at me and sees what I was meant to be, more than just a beautiful mess. Oh, and where would I be without someone to save me? Someone who won't let me fall. You are everything that I live for. Everything that I care, believe is happening. You're standing right in front of me with arms wide open. All I know is every day is filled with hope. 'Cause you sky could never shine brighter than you.
clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Cause he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
Hey, this is Mark Vollmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Follow you today. every time I try to tell you how I feel about you, I really feel about you. I can't find words to design that say exactly what you mean to me, 'cause you mean so much to me. So I stop, I look up, all I'm really trying to say is that there's something about the way I've been feeling lately. I'm walking around with a great big smile written on my face. How can it be? I'm bursting at the seams, I can't keep it in. I can dance, I can breathe, I can live what I believe. What's gonna stop the joy I've got pouring out of me? So deep, it's overwhelming me, I can't keep it in. I can't hide, can't deny, something's rising up from deep inside, and I'm so satisfied. It's plain to see what's in me, it's like a